जय माँ। सो श्री अरविंदो नाउ रेजेस दिस क्वेश्चन, हाउ इज इट दैट द इग्नोरेंस एग्जिस्ट। सो वी हैव स्लाइटली टच्ड अपॉन व्हाट इग्नोरेंस इज, एंड एज लॉन्ग एज दिस अंडरस्टैंडिंग गोज, इट्स इजियर टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट वेल इग्नोरेंस इज स्टेट विच इज मूविंग टुवर्ड्स नॉलेज। बट देन द एक्सट्रीम रिजल्ट ऑफ इग्नोरेंस दैट ऑल्सो एग्जिस्ट, the inconscient, which is the extreme result, complete division. So how are we to understand that? And so Sri Aurobindo, he'll take us this thoroughly through several chapters. But on page 506, he goes back to the background, because in the Vedas, it starts, the distinction between the knowledge and the ignorance begins with the hymns of the Rig Veda. Here knowledge appears to signify a consciousness of the truth, the right, satyam ritam, and of all that is of the order of the truth and right. Ignorance is an unconsciousness, achitti, of the truth and right, an opposition to its workings, and a creation of these or adverse workings. So here there is a divine truth, divine light, divine love, and when there is an opposition to that, an obstruction or a division in its workings, so there are powers of divisions, obviously, all he'll take up how they have come into being, and that is the origin of ignorance. So ignorance doesn't have an original origin. Origin is always of the one reality, but there are powers which, as if how they have come, he'll take us through it, which oppose this sense of oneness. And he'll, why this has come at all into being. And there are beautiful answers that Sri Aurobindo provides to start with in this very chapter. So we'll come to that. But for the moment, we see that Maya, which particularizes. What is Maya? It measures out the infinite. This is the, by that it means that, same as we said, that in the ashram, in a particular department you are working, you can expand it to the earth. So this is a particularization. So we have a double identity, the true identity that we are children of the mother. And then there is a little work we are doing. So both these must be held together. This is an example. It applies everywhere and in every field, every sphere. But what happens is, Vedas took it to what extent? So this limited knowledge becomes not only false knowledge, it turned into falsehood and supported in that aspect by the sons of darkness and division, enemies of the divine endeavor in man, the assailants, robbers, coverers of his light of knowledge. We can take a simple example that the, you know, prime minister may be a good man. I am giving just an example, okay, not for any party or anything. And then he has some ministers. Let's say that the main ministers are also good. But then there is a whole parliament and several people, and they have allocated funds. And then slowly as it goes there, it is being misused, because there are those who, instead of working on behalf of, they begin to, as if they are independent. And then they start at some point oppose if they are, if the main prime minister begins to question them. Because now, you know, they are fine as long as you allow the robbery to continue. But the moment this robbery begins to be questioned, these fellows start opposing the divine plan. This is exactly what we see today, incidentally, because many, very often people speak about the action of the supramental truth. So Sri Aurobindo was asked that, wonderful, that there will be no more wars now that the supermind has descended. So Sri Aurobindo writes, when the supermind descends, he said, it's more likely that it is through war that the manifestation will take place. Because as long as you allow people to continue in their fixed ways, there is no problem. The moment you stop, or the moment you correct, the moment you try to reorient them to the original truth, there is an opposition. It is, we know it in several ways. So the Vedas speak about the divine Maya and the undivine Maya. We are on page 507. That which creates false mental forms and appearances, and hence the later significance of this world, which seems to have meant originally a formative power of knowledge, the true magic of the supreme mage, the divine magician, which is Maya, but was also used for the adverse formative power of a lower knowledge. So we have now Daivi Maya and Adaivi Maya. This is the original Vedic term. It's not Vidya, Vidya. Vidya and Avidya come later. So Daivi Maya and Adaivi Maya. Why Adaivi Maya? And Adaivi Maya turns into Rakshasi Maya, Asuri Maya. So why Maya? Because Maya simply means a formative power. That's all. So that formative power, something of that power is being misutilized or turned into creating opposition, division. Later on he'll take everything, that why it is allowed, all that will come. But right now, that this is how the Adaivi Maya works, as if it is opposing the plan. But as we know, other day we were also saying, even this opposition helps the divine work, but that's for later. So this, the divine Maya, is the knowledge of the truth of things, its essence, law, operation, which the gods possess, and on which they found their own eternal action and creation, and their building of their powers in the human being. So this is the Devanam, the power of the gods. They don't act based on external, the way we understand, our judgments. So that's why, once again, when somebody came and used to join in ancient times, this is still their instinct in Indian thought, even though misused many times, that if somebody went, took sannyas, joined an ashram, he had a name, it applies even now. So you may have defects and faults in your nature, there'll be plenty, but still people who come, often this is a thing to be remembered. People come to the ashram and they suddenly, give you respect in any department. Now, if you think they are giving respect to me, you are mistaken. They are giving respect simply because now your name is connected to Shorbindo. You see the difference? Otherwise, you are nobody. I mean, it's because you are in, like we are in Sri Aurobindo ashram, so because our name is connected to Sri Aurobindo. So this was the original understanding. So as long as we too remember that, understand that, we are representing Sri Aurobindo. It should be both ways. That when we behave with people, there is a letter of Sri Aurobindo to that extent. Very often the sadhaks forget that they are representing me and the mother in their dealings with people. Because ultimately what gets the adverse name? It's to their work. But the moment we remember that we are representing Sri Aurobindo, then see, the whole thing changes. So there is the Daivi Maya and Adaivi Maya. Why Adaivi? It is a distortion of the original. There is only one Maya, the Daivi Maya, formative power. It is misused. Like we may misuse the power of imagination. We may misuse the power of reason. We may misuse our emotions. But they are originally coming from the divine. Love can turn into us something very dark. Reason can turn into us something very vitriolic. Life, origin is divine, but it can turn into something very basal. So that's how it has happened. So there is the divine Maya and the undivine Maya. Ignorance is in its origin a dividing mental knowledge which does not grasp the unity, essence, self-law of things in their one origin and in their universality, but works rather upon divided particulars, separate phenomenon, partial relations, as if they were the truth we had to seize, or as if they could really be understood at all without going back behind the division to the unity, behind the dispersion to the universality. And so many experiences, even in the ashram context, since we are speaking of it, mother reminds and speaks of an experience where she asks a sadhak to get somebody's keys lost, get the key made. So the person goes to the department. It's a very funny story. So 5 o'clock the department closes, So the person goes 5:15 and says, key, no, Mother's orders 5 o'clock, the department should close. But mother has asked the key to be made. No, no, she has given the order that the department should close at 5. Now this is a strange situation. The person doesn't know what to say. And then, like a saving grace, he says, okay, you get it written from the mother, then I will do this. See, this is the whole thing, the change that takes place. This is the difference between we become rigid and we forget the original truth which has given birth. So, the knowledge is that which tends towards unification. So, what is the main difference between the two? Knowledge moves towards unity. And that's why many times we'll see certain stories where there is a reminder. And reminder, it leads to unity. How? We have Akrur's story is very famous. It's the conversion of a person who is, again, many of the asuras have taken birth all around Krishna, like gods have come. So Akrur is one of those who is a darker being. So he has taken, name is also very interesting, Akrur. So he is born but with the Kansa family. And he has been given this mission that somehow you lure Krishna to come and come to Mathura, and we are having a contact there, we are going to kill him. He knows. Now he is but his heart is, you know, feeling very bad about it. What is this? What am I doing? He comes. Krishna knows the secret. He says, okay, come, I'll come. Now he is even more burdened. He was wishing, he says, no. If he said no, at least I will say that, well, I tried my best, but it didn't work. And then the story goes, when they are taking a bath, then he has a vision that he is none else but Vishnu. Now he knows, whatever one may do, he is going of his own choice, and the end of Kansa is near. So this is how the story goes. So similarly, this knowledge, sometimes a reminder. Sri Aurobindo writes so often, they litter like that. What is their reminders, beautiful reminders? Know that the mother loves you. What a reminder. It is a double reminder. What we can love. We can't even love a human being. We are loving the divine. But the divine mother loves us. So such a... this reminder. Know that you are the mother's child. You are the mother's child. He says, whenever there is moments of despair, darkness, he says, tell yourself that you are the mother's child. Therefore, you cannot fail. It's not dependent on, I am doing sadhana. But you are the mother's child. This is a reminder. What is the reminder? Because this is our original truth. Psychic being, the central being, origin is in the supermind where it knows the divine mother. In fact, Sri Aurobindo says even the psychic is born out of the mother's energy. It is the divine mother's energy. So when we remind your mother's child, it's a healing. So many times I've seen, even in practice medical, you just tell the person, instead of reinforcing this problem, oh, this problem, oh, this may happen, that may happen. Then sometimes people add up, I know somebody had this same problem like yours. He died in 2 months' time. No, you better show to a doctor. You don't know you're doing good or bad. That will take its course. But at least remind your mother's child. That's it. She will take care. Tell the mother, offer it to the mother. She will decide our destiny. So that's where the smriti comes in. So what does it comes? It makes us forget the undivine maya. And we misidentify ourselves. That's why the false identifications can strongly come in the way. I am somebody's child. I am somebody's this thing. I am mother's child. There are relations in the world. They have their place. They are means of evolution of each one. Or whatever way one wants to look at it. So there is the divine maya and the undivine maya. So knowledge is that which tends towards unification. And attaining to the supramental faculty seizes the oneness. There is a supramental faculty in which this oneness is seeing. That's the problem between disciples judging each other and the divine looking at each other. Arey, what is this fellow doing here? Mother has kept the person. She knows. I may not understand. Because I am seeing only a part. But she knows the total truth. It may be for conversion. It may be for whatever reason. We don't know. and often it can be quite erroneous and fallacious. But this Caesar, many people, Sri Aurobindo himself said, very interesting. He said, some of the very close disciples are great asuras. Why? Because they were Purvadeva and they fell. And to call them and convert them is one of the work he has undertaken. He had to explain all this. They all have to be here. Because this is a work undertaken. Why? Because if they change, it changes many of the prototypes in the world. So what way divine is looking at it and what is the way we are looking at it. And when you see his letters, it just wonder. The knowledge is that which tends towards unification. The essence, the self-law of existence and views and deals with the multiplicity of things out of that light and plenitude in some sort, as does the divine himself from the highest height whence he embraces the world. So he does, when the divine deals to each one differently, he doesn't give a standardized method. Any standardized technique is a sign or badge of ignorance. Still laboring under ignorance. By its very nature, standardization is the method of the mind. This is how everybody should be. This is how everybody should behave. This is how everybody should practice. This is the standard meditation given to everyone. But supermind doesn't deal, because divine doesn't deal with creation in the same way. With different people, it deals differently. And Sri Aurobindo says that sometimes you should be very careful. To one person, I may say, eat less. Who is sleeping a lot, I may say, eat less, sleep less. To another person, I may say, eat more, sleep more. And if you don't know this, you can be completely misled. So one should be so careful. So supermind deals like that. It must be noted, however, that the ignorance in the conception of it is still a kind of knowledge. But because it is limited, it is open at any point to the intrusion of falsehood and error. So ignorance in itself is not bad, it is striving, but it is open, it can be misled. It can be completely turned. Falsehood is extreme, but ignorance is okay. I don't know. If you don't know, one can know. But when I say, I know that there is no divine, now this is dangerous. That's why agnosticism is fine. A genuine inquiry, doubts are okay. But the moment there is that I know it all, this is dangerous. So we had, that famous limerick of Benjamin Jowett, who said, I am a graduate from Balliol College. All that is knowledge, I know it. All that I do not know is not knowledge. Now this is a dangerous situation. So we come to page 508 now. Or rather 508. So what are the implications? Implications is, if you say this is ignorance, that is knowledge, then there is a problem. How do I deal with everything here? Well, this is all somehow going on. It has no real truth in it. Only that is truth. But if you take the other approach, so how does the dealing come? And he is talking about the truth of the one and the many. So he says, it is also affirmed elsewhere in the Upanishads that he who, this is Isha Upanishad, who follows after the knowledge only enters as if into a blinder darkness. So there are two kinds of darkness. One is Vidyancha Vidyancha. So one is Avidyancha Mrityum Tirthva Vidyancha Amritam Asnuse. Andam Tama Pravishanti Ye Avidyam Upasate. He says, first, those who follow only after ignorance, they go into darkness. But those who follow after knowledge only, they go as if into a greater darkness. This is the Isha Upanishad. So it gives us a very beautiful formula. What is the formula given to us? Who knows Brahman as both the ignorance and the knowledge, as both the one and the many, or both as both the becoming and the non-becoming, crosses by the ignorance by the experience of the multiplicity beyond death and by the knowledge takes possession of immortality. For the self-existent, he really became these many existences. The Upanishads can say of the divine being in all solemnity and with no thought on to mislead. It even in most ignorant way of life, this works. How does it work? That, you know, one will die. But you want to see something of your continue in the child. So the word for the child, one of the word is santan. You are extending the consciousness. You know, you had the famous song, Mera Naam Karega Roshan, Jag Mein Mera Raj Dulara. Because that's where it's the same me. I will die, but I will continue in this. See, simultaneously it is there. I will die, but I will continue. Then go still further. Hamara Vansh. So it goes still further. It can take a different thing in the patriot. I will die, but my countrymen, they will survive. And to the person who is a lover of humanity, I may sacrifice my life, but humanity will grow. Like Christ from the cross, human eyes to rob. So what extent this can? So this is how knowledge operates. So this, so beautiful, he says, it's a meditation actually. Thou art the old man walking with his staff. This is, those who want to read, it's in Ishavasyupanishad. If you Google search on this thing, lift your eyes towards the man and towards the sun. I think it is page 412 in the new volume, but in SABCL it's a different page, I think 475, Ishavasyupanishad. So there is the understanding how to look at the divine in everyone. Thou art this old man walking with his staff. Yonder boy and girl, this blue-winged bird, that red of eye, not thou seemest to be these things to the self-deluding mind of the ignorance. Mother recounts one experience. And then she says in the beginning, I don't know whether Swami Vivekananda actually told this or no, because people will. But it seemed somebody told her, how can one enjoy the sunset and all that? Because it seems that somebody was enjoying the sunset and he was told by Swami Vivekananda, instead of enjoying this sunset, you should close your eyes and contemplate on the divine. So the mother says, I have always found this very strange. You can do both. You can discover the divine and you can see the divine reflected in the sun. So that's where we have this, Sri Bindu's poem, Who? Everywhere. Whose is the hand that has painted the glow in the blue of the sky, in the green of the forest? Whose is the hand that has painted the glow when the winds were asleep in the womb of the ether? Who was it roused them and bade them to blow? In the beauty of woman, in the strength of a man, in the beauty of woman. And then he goes on, you know, that the hand that spent all its cunning, in the pattern and bloom of the flower is woven, in the luminous net of the stars he is caught. So he starts from there. And where does he take us? That's an amazing poem. He takes us to the divine who is hidden in the depth of the darkness. Even there. How does this close? It starts from seeing the divine in everyone and everything. And then he says, why we are not able to discover? We are lost in the pride and the pomp of our passions. We are bound by our thought where we hold ourselves free. And then he says, it is he in the sun who is ageless and deathless, and into the midnight his shadow is thrown. When darkness was dense and covered with darkness, he was seated within it immense and alone. This is not just poetry, it's liberating. Personally, I have not used it that way, but in moments when you just don't know what to do, I remember, even in the densest darkness is hidden. Fear will be afraid of you. Because you say, yeah, मेरे पीछे भी भगवान को देख लिया, अभी मैं क्या करूं. इट इज अ स्टोरी ऑफ मार्कंडे नो. अल्टीमेटली काल ही सेज बट आई बिलोंग टू महाकाल. ही एंड शिवा अपीयर्स, ही सेज तेरा भी बॉस मैं हूं. So these are stories which indicate that, you know, we start from seeing the divine in everyone, in everything. Then we will reach that point where even in the inconscient we will see the divine. That is the basis of this yoga. If we cannot do it, if we divide world and God and things, these are this separate, these different, then we cannot operate. So this is what he tells us. Then our view of the ultimate reality and of the true nature of Maya has compelled us to depart from these later fine excesses of the dialectical intellect. And he says that later on people, this was originally in the Vedas, this was known, but then later on departed and started. And why he is using the word dialectical intellect? Because intellectually our mind will say, no, divine. How can this person be divine? He is a rotten fellow. Arey bhai, divine has kept him. He knows. How do you know what purpose he is serving? But there is this mind which for the mind it's extremely difficult. So this is how he goes. And for the dialectical intellect is not a sufficient judge of essential or spiritual truths. One of the things the mother says, to discover the psychic being, the first thing required, and the first thing required is like a leap. First thing you must know is that the mind cannot judge spiritual things. Period. Then the rest applies. But if the mind is constantly busy, we are constantly judging. Either ourselves or others. And difficult to say which is better. Both are worse. So always we have to remember the divine presence. So we come to what really is the solution or okay. And then he gives us few hints, page 514, because people say that mind divides, yes, but mind also has a seeking. Page 514, mind has a power also for truth. It opens its thought chamber to vidya as well as to avidya. And if its starting point is ignorance, if its passage is through crooked ways of error, that's how the Ishopanishad says, that remove from us all crookedness, agne ne supatharaye. Basically saying take us through the straight path, crooked ways. So normally that's how ignorance operates. So instead of that crooked way, mind still has a seeking. That's the difference. Humility opens the door to seeking. As long as somebody admits, I do not know. At least admit, I may not know. The moment one says, I know, that's where the problem starts. I may not know. Now what happens? When the mind says, I may not know, it opens the door to seeking, I want to know. And then also in the mind, both movements are there. One is the mind when under the ego it says, I know it. Other is when it opens and says, I may not know and I want to know. So mind has a power also for truth. It opens its thought chamber to vidya as well as to avidya. And if the starting point is ignorance, if its passage is through crooked ways of error, still its goal is always knowledge. There is in it an impulse of truth-seeking, a power, even though secondary and limited, of truth-finding and truth-creation. Problem is, what we hold as truth, recently somebody was trying to argue, discuss, so, no, there is no God, no reality, all this. Is it fine? Stay with your belief. No, it's not a belief. Now I knew that he is in for trouble, because he quoted Richard Feynman's book he sent me. I said, you know, this book I have read long back. I am aware of what is the content of the book. But now I will send you a book which you should read, which you have not read certainly. So this is a problem that I know. Why? Because you have gathered some knowledge from somewhere. And you begin to believe that because you have read, You have not allowed your mind to stretch into something higher and greater. So that's where if the seeking is there, it will lead us to that. Even the best books, recently also something on evolution in Australia, everybody was showing me, this book, Homo Sapiens, who is the author? I'm forgetting. So I read few pages, I said, but this is different. It talks about evolution, but it misses the real thing. Instantly you know what is missing, the internal driver of evolution, isn't it? So, but suddenly it catches everybody. See, they are talking of evolution. But no, that's not the issue. Who is the driver of evolution? Is it inconscient energy or a conscious plan? If you take this much that I don't know, then you will reach. Then the doors will open. And now he says, takes us to still next level. All indeed changes when we penetrate the lower and the higher depths of consciousness and unite them in the one omnipresent reality. This is exactly what Sri Aurobindo has done. He opened both the doors above and below. Normally mystics say, we don't want to go below and see what is lying there. I'll go from here and chal khusro ghar aapne ab rehna bhai videsh. Wo duniya mere babul ka ghar. Ye duniya sasural. That's why everybody believes sasural is not your parents' house. Because of these songwriters. Are you should make this sasural like your babul ka ghar. This is what every intelligent woman is doing and every foolish husband believes. She is doing so nicely. If she says, I'll do it on the plan of my parents' place, he will say, no. Do it as my parents say. But she will very gently, 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 and ultimately, you know, sasural has been replicated. This is the, with the maika. So this division is that we start from mind and go there. This area, we don't know. We don't care to know. It's all ignorance. This is all maya. This is the great problem. So how did this ignorance come out? Now he is in giving us that if you penetrate, then you will know. This is why we see Sri Aurobindo going down into the inconscient. No mystic has done this. I mean, Vedic age is different. If you try to explain anyone, who will understand? That's why nobody could understand his withdrawal. Oh, he is the yogi of yogis. Why he has to leave his body like this? And he had written autobiographically in one of his poems that I have left the surface gods of mind and delved in a nether mysteries. I made an assignation, the pilgrim of the night. I made an assignation with the night. In the abyss was fixed our rendezvous. Carrying in my breast God's deathless light, I came her dark and dangerous heart to woo. Original Vedic yoga, where again Indra, Sarma, Panis and the cows. But taken to what level? He plunged into the inconscient. That's why Mother and Sri Aurobindo can say what they are saying. So, he says that this is a possibility. Again, this is his biography, but he is putting it in third person. As if we take the facts of our and the world's being, we find existence to be one always. A unity governs even its utmost multiplicity, but the multiplicity is also on the face of things undeniable. I will not go into its examples, plenty. So he gives how this came about. Such a beautiful thing. He says, all multiplicity resolves itself into a manifoldness of the one being, the one consciousness of being, the one delight of being. Reduce all physical phenomena, you will come to atoms. Reduce all atoms, you will come to energy, life. Go behind energy, reduce all energy, movements, directionally, it will come to consciousness, mind. You will hit that. And all these ultimately driven by Ananda. You will end up with Sachidananda, playing with himself. So, there is in the mind a possibility. But then how this came about? Now he's answering. This was the question, original question. Thus, in the duality of pleasure and pain, we have seen that pain is a contrary effect of the one delight of existence. Resulting, why does pain come? Resulting from the weakness of the recipient his inability to assimilate the force that meets him, his incapacity to bear the touch of delight that would otherwise be felt in it. It is a perverse reaction of consciousness to Ananda, not itself a fundamental opposite of Ananda. That is shown by the significant fact that pain can pass into pleasure and pleasure into pain, and both resolve into the original Ananda. Evidence. One is, we know the famous song. Of course, we will not talk about the song, it's a distortion. Bulle Shah's original. Teri talwar ke niche mein nachiyan karke thaiyan thaiyan. I am dancing below your sword and dancing with rapture and joy. Why? Imagine if death comes and you see a bhaisa par baitha hua, some horned, and says, I have got a noose. And imagine you see the Divine Mother saying, come child. What will be the difference? This is the difference. Answer is obvious, isn't it? And that's what we see. Guru Tegh Bahadur, it's impossible to understand how the person could be roasted in front on fire and his children both are, you know, diwar mein chunwana. They are fixed inside the wall, they are dying. And before that, he just calls them and tells them one thing. Very interesting. What does he tell them, the children? He says only these two things which the Sikh always say. Sat Sri Akal, Vahe Guru Di Ki Fateh. Strange, he is dying. It doesn't look like Vahe Guru Ki Fateh, but he says. And indeed, after that sacrifice, Aurangzeb is gone and Khalsa Panth continues. It's very interesting. He says, remember only these two things. Vahe Guru Di Ka Khalsa, Vahe Guru Ji Ki Fateh. So imagine, you know, going with that attitude, even death becomes an gate to immortality. So this is what he says, that what is really pain? In constriction, restriction of the full delight. And we see this. Again, second example or third example. When we begin to start some physical exercise, what does the body say? No, no, no. There is a lot of pain. Isn't it? Now see, so many people are smiling. So some people give up. Are kya karein? Pain hota. If you concede to it, after some time, this pain will enter into ghutne mein bhi darad. And don't overdo. Don't quote and say overdo. Pain is ananda. Ghutne mein pain, isme pain. Then ultimately you become a body of pain. But if you take, no, I'll slowly, slowly. This is where people forget. There is a graduality. With asana also, I'll do it little by little, by little, by little. Then after some time, where doing a certain exercise was giving pain, now you are doing three times more and it's giving you joy. So where was the problem? Problem was in the reception of that delight. Same with ego. Karke thaiya thaiya. For one person, oh, what a horrible event took place. Somebody whom I love dearly lost. Another is liberation. This was the point of extreme attachment and the divine has taken away. See, the same thing. So it's just a question of wrong reception. And why that happens? That also you will explain. So too, every form of weakness is really a particular working of the one divine will force or the one cosmic energy. Weakness in that force means its power to hold back, measure, hold back, withholding of its force completeness, or an insufficient reaction of force, not its fundamental opposite. That's what we have in the story of Hanuman. They are all sitting, we have to cross this ocean, nobody can do. So Jamvan says, Hanuman, he says, why are you asking me to get up? You can do it, I said, come on. Because he is forgotten, no? Then he reminds him what all you have did. Bal samay rabi bhaksh liyo jab tinahu lok bhayo andhiyaro. He is listening, what all? He says, really? And then that famous Lanka Kand, how does it start? जांबवंत के वचन सुहाए. Suddenly he says, Jai Shri Ram. Now what happened? What happened? What is the difference? If we too can adopt this attitude that it is impossible for me as a limited formation. That's what people say. No, I can't conquer this difficulty. But if you say, I had heard once a very, apparent devotee or whatever. Oh, this is okay. This is part of. And I was shocked. I said, difficulty is there. That is understandable. But I cannot overcome it. It's an impossibility because with the mother's grace, nothing is impossible. Keep on joining and one day she will make you cross. This is the original Ringa Ringa Roses. Papa, Mama holding us and making us cross. And the other is hide and seek. This is the original hide and seek. So hide and seek is what? Divine holds back his power. Why? Because if he gives us prematurely, we'll collapse. Holds back his delight so that we don't go mad. But it's not that forever it is like that. We can ask for it. And if we ask for it, we receive it. So this is the whole process of transformation he is revealing to us. So weakness is a withholding of the divine power. And he'll come to us when there is a need. Even in ordinary life, a person is not able to run, this, that, and Parkinsonism, let a snake come, see how he will run. Real experience, I'm telling you. He will run. Of course, you can't give this treatment. Doctors can't bring a snake and say, let me check your Parkinson. So this is incapacity. What we call ignorance is not really anything else than a power of the one divine knowledge will or maya. It is the capacity of the one consciousness similarly to regulate, to hold back, measure, relate in a particular way the action of its knowledge. You don't tell a child in kindergarten E equals to MC square. You tell a child E equals to elephant. Then slowly he comes but the teacher ji knows and the child is capable of knowing. See, this is the difference. But at the right time, slowly he has to take him through all this and then a time comes when he'll say E equals to MC square. How wonderful. Then somebody will say E equals to elephant. He'll say, okay, that's fine. That is done. So this is how, that's why one should read The Life Divine and Sri Aurobindo's works and not say, I don't understand it. Why? Because not understanding is the beginning. Not understanding but wanting to understand is the middle. And not understanding, wanting to understand and understanding it by he who is overstanding us is the culminating point. So he is overstanding, no? And last part we'll read. So he says that this is how we have to look at it. But in their fundamental relation, ignorance would not be an equal coexistent. It would be dependent on knowledge, a function or a contrary action of knowledge. So this is the basis. And with this we will stop. That basically ignorance is because the all-knowing has held back its knowledge. The seed contains the whole tree. But the power and the idea which is blossoming in the seed is held back in the tree. Therefore, everybody has a future because everybody at its core is divine. That's why. This from there, so many things will come up. What I cannot do today, I can do tomorrow, but I have to persist. It won't be like automatically it'll happen. We have those two lines in Savitri, which we'll close. Earth's winged chimeras are God's steeds in heaven. Chimera is the horse which can fly. On earth it is called chimera, is a word used for impossible imagination. It is chimerical thinking. People are saying there will be a divine body, it's a chimera. Earth's winged chimeras are truth steeds in heaven, Uccheshrava. The impossible, God's sign of things to be. Somebody conceives. Even if he conceives, that evolution will take us to the next level. More perfect, more consciousness. Even logically you can conceive that. That means that this is something which has already come in the realm of imagination, and tomorrow it will become a reality. Why? Because this was the original truth holding back. Now it will release itself first through the imagination, then in the mind as a possibility, then as an aspiration in the heart, and then working through the life, and then eventually in the body itself. Okay, so we'll meet tomorrow. Jai Ma. Those who want to go to Auroville last session on Saturday the 22nd of August, please write the names. This will be there tomorrow also, this paper, so I can inform accordingly that how many persons are there. Jai Ma.